Hey, well, I'm Robin. Welcome to East Lake. And it does seem like we're all sort of hardwired to want to make changes in our life. I think the reason the New Year's resolutions are so popular is there always seems to be something in my life that I want to change. There's something in my life I want to see go a little better than it went this last year. And we're in this series talking about change, and Jesus really has this unique perspective about change, especially when you have a religious background that you put it up against. When Jesus shows up, no matter what's happened in your past, you don't have to change it. No matter how you're living your life right now, you don't have to change it. And against a religious background, that's pretty startling, because most religions tell us these are all the things you need to change if you get to be with God. And he was completely different than that. Jesus showed up and said, you don't have to change anything to be with God. If you want to be with God, God wants to be with you. Now, he was talking about this one time, and there was a group of people around him, and there was this one man in the crowd that was sort of result-orientated, that type of guy. So he raises his hand, and he says, yeah, but what's the point, Jesus? If I give you my life, if I decide to follow you, what's going to happen in my life? How will it all turn out? And we actually have what Jesus told him, the words recorded in the Bible. It's in your note sheet. I'll read it to you. Here's what Jesus said. Follow me, and this is what will happen in your life. This is what you'll be able to do. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as you would love yourself. Do this, and life will be yours. Jesus said life is a gift, and love is the point. And he follows it up with this really cool promise. You can see it in your notes as well. Here's the promise. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. And this is the kind of love we're talking about. We love because God first loved us. So you sort of get this kind of before and after thing going when it comes to the story of Jesus. He's saying, before you'll be able to forgive anyone, you have to be forgiven. It'll be after you receive mercy from God that you'll be able to give other people mercy. And change happens after you come to God, not before. Now, this series that we're in, we're talking about all these different changes that we're going to make. But before we get there, we want to start with a really simple truth. You have to connect with God first. It all starts with him. So today we're talking about worship. It's the big idea this weekend. You can write it in your notes. When we worship God, we re-engage with his heart. And specifically today, we're talking about singing and music, praise that we bring to God. Not just the lifestyle of worship, but just the very specific idea that when you come in and you sing to God, songs with other people or yourself, which we'll do at the end of our time today. Here's what the Bible says. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. When is the last time you said this to someone? I love you. Maybe if you're going to boil worship down to the most simple definition there is, that's it right there. It's when you sing a song or you offer praise, and behind it is this attitude, I love you, God. Sometimes the best feeling in the whole universe is just stop for a second and say, Lord, before I go any further, I love you, Lord. I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. When is the last time someone said that to you? Or how does it feel when you say that to someone else? Today we're going to talk about singing and lifting praise and what it means to worship and why it is when we worship we re-engage with God's heart. And this before and after thing starts to happen. Before I can make any changes in my life, I have to connect with God and see how much He loves me. Before I can forgive someone, I have to connect with God and help Him to forgive me. And worship is when the walls come down. The walls come down, I reach out to Him, and when the walls are down, He reaches out to me. And there's change that happens. And today we'll talk about just a couple of them. In your notes, write this first one. We get God's perspective on things. And I probably should admit to you that my perspective in life usually comes in the context of how circumstances affect me. How do you determine if something is good or bad? In everyday life, as you just go through life, how do you decide if something's right or wrong? Usually for me, something is good based on how it affects me. Something is right and should happen based on how it influences or impacts my life. My perspective usually is about as big as me. How everything affects me around me, all the circumstances, the grid I run it through is me. I understand it either being good or bad based on how I think it affects my life. And worship is completely different than that. Worship is those times in life when you connect with God, you re-engage with His heart, and you start to get His perspective on something. Look what the Bible says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. You can circle that in your notes. Don't depend on your own understanding. Worship is the time that I make the transition from how I understand good and bad, how I understand life, and I start to see it from God's perspective. Seek Him with all you do, and He will show you which path to take. I've noticed when I disconnect with God or I'm a little distant with God, I take the path of least resistance. I choose the path that seems like it's going to work out the best for how I want life to go, or I get confused and overwhelmed and I don't take any path. I just stay stuck because I can't understand things. I can't wonder how it would go. When is the last time you thought this, God, if you love me so much, why'd you let this happen? You know, if I took a true or false test or a quiz, true or false quiz on does God love me, I would pass that every time. But when the finances get tight, I wonder. When I see something happen in someone's life that I really care about and I don't think it should happen, I wonder. When I pray and 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 I pray, I don't hear anything. Nothing changes. I mean, I would never say, does God love you? I would never say false on a test. But in everyday life, it gets challenged. I can't tell you how many times I've come into a setting just like this and 35, 36 years I've been following Jesus. I come into a setting just like this, and the music starts and the singing starts, and you know I'm just kind of moping through it, and then all of a sudden I can feel the walls start to come down. Sometimes it's because you're singing. I hear you sing or other people singing, and I start, the wall starts to come down, and I start to sort of engage in the singing, and I start to praise Him and sing, and all of a sudden I feel this transition start where I start to trust God instead of having to understand God. And the worship, and all of a sudden I'm singing, and the next thing you know, trusting God feels so much better than having to have all the answers. And then before you know it, the love starts to flow. I don't know what it is about worship and singing. It's like when I'm trying to tell God I love Him, all of a sudden I connect with this really deep part in my soul where I really do believe that He loves me. And then everything changes. I have this completely different perspective. There's this great story in the Bible how sometimes we can not see things from His perspective and they look so differently. It's not in your notes, but it was way back in the day. And it's in the history of Israel. And Israel has this kind of relationship with God that goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And this is one of the down times in their life. Nobody's really worshiping God. All the churches are vacant. You know, nobody can trust God for anything. They got other ideas on how to live their life, and things are falling apart. And to make matters worse, they're in the battle with this nation, Syria, that's right alongside of them. And there's this one guy, his name was Elisha. And he still worships God, and he's going around, and he's encouraging people. He says, hey, you don't have to change anything. Just start worshiping God right now. Just start worshiping him. And he's calling people, and the hope starts to rise. And Syria gets wind of it, and they think, well, if we can just knock that guy off and eliminate that guy, we'll certainly be able to win the war. So they get this entire army together, and they find him in this small little town. How powerful is a guy that they call out an entire army for him? And they surround him in this little town, and Elisha's there, and he's got a group of people that kind of roll with him, and he's got an assistant, and the assistant, this servant, goes out one morning. I'm going to read it to you out of the Bible. It's not in your notes, but it'll come up on the screen behind me. And listen to what happened. Getting God's perspective, seeing things through his eyes instead of my own. Here it is. Early the next morning, Elisha's servant got up and went out of the house and saw the Syrian troops with their horses and chariots surrounding the town. He went back to Elisha and exclaimed, we're doomed, sir. Have you ever looked at a circumstance or looked at something in a relationship? When is the last time you looked at a circumstance or a relationship and it started to develop and you thought, I'm doomed? No way. There's no chance. We're doomed, sir. Elisha answered, we have more on our side than they have on theirs. Then he prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord answered his prayer, and Elisha's servant looked up. It's kind of a picture of worship. And he saw the hillside covered with horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I wonder what's happening in my life right now, and I can't see it. God can. What am I worried about? What are you worried about right now? Because we really do see something with our eyes and our perspective. But if we were to catch God's perspective, how would it be different? I don't know what it is about singing, worshiping God. When the walls go down and I'm reaching up towards him, I can't tell you how many times I've walked into a church service through the years. And I've just been singing. I've just been praising. And all of a sudden, God will show me what's bothering me. I can't tell you how many times in my life I've been singing to God or worshiping God, and I've been stuck in a relationship, and right in the middle of the song, it's like he downloads what I need to say to them to get traction. I wasn't even thinking about it, and all of a sudden, it's during worship. My walls are down. I'm reaching to him, and he can reach to me, and all of a sudden, I know my next right step. How many times have I come into a worship service and been really worried about money? I mean, you know how money is. I mean, you know, money, like you do the math on the money and it's like there's not enough there according to the math. And I'm scared and I'm worried. And I start to praise him and worship him and all of a sudden he's able to say to me, but I'm your provider. I'll take care of you. And the worry leaves. There's something about seeing things from God's perspective, there's something about being able to connect with his heart that I remember, oh, that's right. God loves me. When you sing songs, when you enter his courts with praise, you get his perspective on things. Some people in the room today, maybe you're feeling super close to God or maybe not. None of that matters. We're all at different points in the process. But when you begin to sing or worship or listen to others sing, I'll talk to people sometimes, they'll come to East Lake Church and they've been away from God for maybe a super, super long time and they're just maybe wanting to get back on track or maybe they've never stepped over that line. And they'll tell me, they said, I don't understand why today during the music I teared up. I felt like I was going to almost cry. And I'll say, well, there's something deep in your soul that you believe about God. It's that he loves you, but there's a lot of layers on top of it. But when you're in the middle of worship and praise, somehow it it rises to the surface. And somewhere in your soul, it's telling you God loves you. He loved you first. And it'll make you cry. What do you need to get God's perspective on? You've been thinking about it, trying to understand it. I invite you today, as we worship and sing songs, just open your heart to Him and let Him bring it to you. Now, the other thing is power. You can write it in your notes. We receive God's power. We live in a world that really sort of embraces this idea of positive thinking. If it is to be, it's up to me. And the whole idea is like, get your mind right, you know. Be very positive about life. All that's good. What it says is that I'm sort of in this on my own and my strength and my power. But here's the problem. If I set the bar too high, I just fail and I feel like a failure. And if I set the bar too low, nothing changes. We started off the talk today. This man had raised his hand and said, "Hey, God, what's going to happen if I do decide to follow you?" And Jesus had told everybody, "Come as you are." And then he said this, and here's the good news. You don't have to stay as you are. How many times have you wanted to forgive someone and there just wasn't enough power? You even had the phone in your hand. How many times have you got up in the morning and said, "I'm going to be completely different at work today"? And by 9:30, you hated everyone. How many things have you started in your life and they were so good? You know, it's not that we don't have good intentions. It's how does it occur? How do we get to have something different? It's not we don't have power. It's not like I'm powerless. I mean, I have power in my life. I brought this sort of analogy today so you could see it. I brought my laptop in. So I got the Apple laptop here and it has the battery in it. And so if I use this with my battery, I can use this for about 5-6 hours. So this is my laptop. You know, I open it up, I'm good to go. And I can use this for about 5 or 6 hours. And then that's all the power there is in it. Now, as long as the battery's good, there's plenty of power. It seems a lot like my life. I mean, as long as I'm tapped into my power and I've got the strength, I'm good, I can go. And then all of a sudden I realize, but the power's run out. I don't have enough power. 5 or 6 hours. Now I want to show you a picture of Hoover Dam. So now this is Hoover Dam right here. Now this has 5 or 6 hours of power. This has 4.5 million hours of power. 8 million people can receive electricity from this. I mean, Hoover Dam compared to a laptop? Can you imagine if your battery on your laptop, how rich you would be if you could invent it? If you had a battery that would last 4.5 million hours? And the analogy is that when you worship God, you tap into His power. It's in your notes here. I want you to know all about Christ's love, although it's too wonderful to be measured. Then your lives will be filled with all that God is. I pray that Christ Jesus and the church will forever bring praise to God. His power at work in us can do more than we dare ask or imagine. You know why I don't ask and imagine? It's because most of the time I feel like this. This is about as much power as I have. I better not go on a 10-hour trip. How many things in your life have you already looked forward to and you said, "No, that's not happening. I don't have the strength. I don't have the money. I don't have the power to pull that off. I don't have the power to get married. I don't have the power to reconcile that relationship. I don't have the power to lose that weight. I don't have the power to go on that diet. I don't have the..." You just size it up and you're like, "No." One of the best things about praise and worship for me through the years is in the middle of the singing, I can admit to God, "I don't have enough strength." Most of the time, I don't like to admit that. I want to walk around and act like I'm this guy, when really I'm this guy. It's during the singing. Lights are out. Musicians are singing. People around me are singing. We're lifting praise. I can finally lower the walls down so many times with God and just say to Him, God, I don't have enough strength. I'm not resourceful enough. I failed too many times in this area. I need more than I have. Praise and worship. Singing. It was designed for me to be able to connect with God's heart for me, to find out before I ever loved Him, He loved me. And there's a power available. It's more than I can ever imagine. And here's what ends up happening, and you can put it in the bottom line. We place our trust in God to do what's good and best. So often that's the end result of the process of singing and worship. And somewhere through the process, as the walls come down, I can believe that no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how the situation looks, somehow I transition to this place of believing, God, You're going to do what's good, and You're going to do what's best. Do you know there's things that have happened in my life that only were able to happen during worship and singing? I've come into a service, and there's something that I've done in my past, or something was done to me, and there's a wound there. And it was during praise and singing that it was healed. I've been completely confused about how to handle a situation, and I would be singing and praising, and all of a sudden God would just show me what to do. I've come into church so angry and bitter at someone before, I was curious if God would have an angel stop me at the door and say, "Now you better stay out for a while." And I would come in and the singing would start and the worship would start. And somehow His love would displace the bitterness. And then all of a sudden I would see that person in a completely different way. And when the singing was over, it's like I wanted to call him up and say, "Hey, listen, I'm sorry. I apologize. I don't want it to be like this anymore." I didn't even go into the worship time hoping that would happen. And yet when the walls came down, He was able to reach me. We always sing songs on the weekends. We always praise Him. And one of the reasons is we want the feeling to be able to say to God, "I love You." But we also want to be able to reconnect with His heart and deep in our soul the belief that He loves me first. There's many things that He can do in my life that I'll never be able to get unless the walls are down. Listen to this last little part of the Bible. "He has given me a new song to sing, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see what He has done and be amazed. They will put their trust in Him." How do you need to connect with God today? Maybe for you it's the very first time. You've been thinking about it for a super, super long time, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're like... Or maybe... maybe you've been really, really super close to God and it's been consistent for you, but something has come up in your life, a circumstance, and you know if you don't press into Jesus a little bit more, you may not make it. Or maybe you just took a break a long time ago. You just stopped. You didn't. It wasn't like I don't believe anymore. It was just like, I'm stopping. I'm breaking. And you have to re-engage in worship. Reconnect with, "He loves me and I love Him." Now grab your connection card there in your program, and on the back there, there's a different things you can fill out. At the very, very end, we have the giving envelope and the connection card. If you look on back, there's a place where you can jump in and serve, and there's some next steps, and there's a place to write your prayer requests. And our service today is specifically designed to sing and to do the worship after we've had the talk, so you could process and reflect a little bit. And you can make a choice today and say, "Today I'm going to sing songs." And don't worry about the people around you. Everybody sings so differently. And everybody moves so differently to the music. And, you know, sometimes you come into a worship setting, and some churches you go there and everybody's got their hands in there and they're dancing and they're singing, and it's just like, wow, they're having a big party. And other churches seem like a library. It's like, is anybody, you know, it's just like, East Lake is kind of middle of the road. You may see someone lift up their hand. Don't think it's weird. They're not trying to get your attention. If you don't think you have a good singing voice, you're probably right. And it doesn't matter. Because singing to God, telling Him, I love you, God, praising God, entering His courts with praise, it reconnects you with God because the attitude behind it. And then deep in your soul, the belief that He loves me starts to rise to the surface.